The most joyful and blessed third Sunday of Advent be to all of you. We rejoice, brothers and sisters, today because Christmas is now so near to us. Only 10 more days. In different places around the world, our brothers and sisters celebrate the last part of Advent in a special way. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, working with the Hispanic people for many years, and I always enjoyed the Las Posadas. Las Posadas means the dwelling or the place to stay, and they reenacted Mary and Joseph's search for a place to stay to have their baby, to have her baby. And so every night, from the 16th or 17th of December, we would gather and go from place to place, and each place would tell us there was no room in the inn. So it was a beautiful tradition of bringing to mind Mary and Joseph's search for a place, not having even a place to have the child who is from heaven. When I went to the Holy Land in 2020, with Cardinal Burke and some priests, we went to Bethlehem, of course, and we went to the place called the Shepherd's Field. And there in one of the caves, we celebrate the Mass. So it was big enough that it could hold an ox and a donkey and several people. It was kind of amazing to find that cave out there in Shepherd's Field, brought home the whole story of Mary and Joseph having to go there so that she could have her baby. So this third Sunday of Advent is really an invitation to have our hearts even more ready for the coming of the Lord and actually to rejoice that He is so near and to help us in this final stretch of Advent. The Church gives us the figure of St. John the Baptist. He comes on the scene. He's an enigmatic figure, of course. He's dressed in camel skins. He's eating wild locust and honey. And he doesn't have any fixed place. Seems like he's moving around, but basically every day he goes to the Jordan, and there he baptizes people in a baptism of repentance, telling them to turn away from all their sins so they can prepare for the coming of the Messiah. He knew, because of the gift of the Spirit, that day was at hand, a day that had been waited for how many centuries, prophesied by the prophets, was finally here. And so God directed St. John to be like another Elijah and announce that the coming of the Just One is imminent. When St. John the Baptist was pressed by the religious authorities to tell them what authority he had to baptize people, St. John said that my baptism is a baptism of water, of repentance. But when the Christ comes, he's going to baptize with fire and with the Holy Spirit. Big difference. I don't know whether that satisfied the curiosity of those Pharisees or not. Probably not. But nonetheless, for some, St. John's ministry out there in the desert was a wake-up call, an invitation. And so people went out there to see him. They went out there to be baptized. Some of them felt convicted in their hearts by the Holy Spirit, and they asked honestly what they should do in order to be cleansed, in order to be ready for the Messiah's coming. He answered each of them, reminding them to be just, to be honest, not take advantage of people, to share what they had with the less fortunate. So he exercised a priestly ministry out there in the desert, and people really listened to him. He realized how unworthy, though, that he was to be thought of as the Christ. He knew he was not that, but he was a voice crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." He himself didn't even feel like he could undo the straps on the Messiah's sandals. So, brothers and sisters, if today you went out to the desert to find St. John the Baptist, and you asked him what you could do to prepare your heart for the coming of Christ, what do you think your questions would be? Perhaps, have we been as charitable as we should have been and should be toward the less fortunate? Have we sacrificed our own will to do the will of God? What are the sins we're committing that we need to turn away from? I know there's only 10 days left before Christmas, but still, this part of Advent can give us a boost to a deeper conversion to Christ. Maybe we need to think about how we're treating our spouse. Or maybe it's the way we're not teaching our children the way we should. Maybe it's our laziness in prayer. I think the Holy Spirit himself will reveal to each of us what needs to be converted in us. The more deeply we're converted, the more joyful will be our hearts. And this joy won't be something superficial. It won't be something sentimental. It's something that fills the heart with peace and happiness, even if we're suffering. And it's a gift from the Spirit, joy is. And anybody who possesses the Spirit is filled with joy. So what about us? We say Christmas is the most joyful season. But if our hearts are not converted, it'll only be a passing joy, not a joy that comes from true repentance and conversion of our hearts. So let's pray for each other in these last 10 days that Christ may find in us a worthy dwelling and that he will be welcomed by us. May our souls be cleansed. May they be purified of everything that is not of God. And so let's listen to the Baptist, heeding his prophetic words, just as if he was still here. May his memory remind us all to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our King and our God.